Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seven in the series on the power play are the Capitals. And it's Benda Kuznetsov, save, rebound, score! Oshie!
Watch what happens to TJ Oshie. Johnny on the spot, from his skate to his stick to the back of the net. Kuznetsov, the rolling puck, Fleury fights it off, and then the nifty footwork by Oshie.
Second chance opportunity. Great hand-eye coordination there from Oshie to be able to settle that puck down enough and just get it up and over the pad.
Yeah, TJ Oshie retired yesterday. Certainly not a surprise. That goal came in the first period of Game 4 nearly 7 years ago to the day. June 4th, 2018, the Caps in Game 4 at home, up 2-1 in that series at that time against Vegas. They went on to win that game 6-2. A few nights later, they were hoisting the Stanley Cup on the road in Las Vegas. Good morning, everybody, and so long to Oshie, who was a key piece to one of the most memorable sports springs in D.C. history, the only Stanley Cup the Caps have. Oshie in that playoff run, 21 points in 24 playoff games, 6 power play goals, led the league during that postseason, 2 game-winning goals. And remember, in the Eastern Conference Finals, when the Caps were down 3-2 against Tampa Bay, they needed to stay alive in Game 6, and Oshie provided 2 of the 3 goals in Game 6 to keep their season alive in that moment. Nobody will ever forget the moment he shared with his father on the ice in Vegas after winning the cup. His father, Tim, had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's several years earlier. It was an emotional night for everybody. 16 years in the NHL, 9 of those here in Washington. Thank you and good luck to TJ Oshie in retirement. Max is a huge Caps fan, and I'll ask him sort of where he has him on the list of all-time Caps. Let me just mention to all of you that David Aldridge will be on the show to talk NBA Finals with us at 11. J.I. Halsell, longtime friend of the show, salary cap expert and NFL agent, will be on with us, and we'll talk about the kind of deal that Terry McLaurin might be looking for. We'll also talk about some of the other things that are going on in the NFL. And Dan Quinn is expected and scheduled to address the media before minicamp, mandatory minicamp, day number one begins at 1 o'clock today out in Ashburn. So we will carry that live when he speaks, most likely sometime during the 12 o'clock hour. So, Max, you're a huge Caps fan. You have followed this team for pretty much all of your very young life. I know Oshie's not up there with Ovechkin and Rod Langway and Peter Bondra and probably, you know, a couple of the goalies. But, you know, for someone like me who would have a hard time putting together, say, a top 20 list, where would Oshie be on the list?
Oshie's definitely up there. I've got
what's him, up there?
It's top 10 for sure, at least in my lifetime. Because Ovechkin, Backstrom are obviously the 1-2. John Carlson's been around for forever, so he would fall into the 3 spot. Braden Holtby, again, up there. A lot of my guys come from the 2018 team, but at the same time, they're guys who have been around or were with this team for a good majority of their career, if not all of it. So, yeah, he's definitely in the top 10. Chris and I were having the discussion yesterday if he'll have his number retired or not. And he's given the magnitude that or the lengths that Monumental went to today to or yesterday to put on the type of ceremony that they did for TJ, I think that's definitely in the cards. So he's top 10 for me, maybe even on the outskirts of the top five, at least in terms of like my lifetime. Now you could go back and I could put Alex Semin on the list and guys from the old 2000s teams, but that 2018 team immediately like cemented a special place in my heart the second they went on that run. And it's just, yeah. So thank you, TJ. And he's partially responsible for one of the best nights of my life, which was not when the Caps won, but two nights after they were at Cafe Milano in Georgetown. And there were a bunch of people outside and we were all celebrating and all that. They brought the cup out and down to us. And like TJ was the one who handed it off like to the mob of people standing outside the restaurant, and the crowd went ballistic. Like some guy like lowered the Stanley Cup to my face so I could kiss it. Like it was a magical night, a magical moment. And TJ Oshie is the one that I have to thank for that.
Yeah. That's funny. I remember as a kid, when the Bullets won the championship in 1978, there was a parade. And I do remember the Caps parade. I remember the Nats parade. They were great days, no doubt. And you're talking about, obviously, I mean, they celebrated that cup, and Ovechkin celebrated that cup. And by the way, totally deserved.
Of course.
But I remember that literally the Bullets players were on buses where you know, had to now I didn't get close to the buses, but you had to reach up to sort of grab on to Elvin Hayes's or Wes Unseld's hand to shake them as they were, you know, parading down in big buses. That makes no sense when you think about it. There should have been a parade and there should have been open, you know, cars and whatever. Parades have been great. You know, Super Bowl champion parades tend to be bad weather parades, and we've had a few of those, but you got to go a long way back. All right, well, good luck to TJ Oshie, and 2018 was certainly magical, and he will never be forgotten for being a big part of that. I wanted to just mention a couple of things, because man, there was a lot of follow-up to yesterday's show where we talked about Jaden Daniels per Pro Football Focus being ranked as the sixth best quarterback heading into 2025. The five in front of him, Mahomes, followed by Burrow, followed by Jackson, Allen, and then Jalen Hurts. And I said, I don't see how you would, you know, put Jalen Hurts in front of Jaden Daniels. And many of you pushed back and said, well, Jalen Hurts has been to the Super Bowl twice, and he's won a Super Bowl. I would just say to you, well, Jaden Daniels has only played one season, and he got to the NFC Championship game. And Jalen Hurts' first year of starting, they got to the playoffs and lost in the first round. But anyway, this from Derek. Derek writes, Kevin, you keep saying that Jaden is a top five QB in the league. One season just isn't enough to say that. Let's see it another year, and then we can talk. This from Paul. Kevin, Jaden's not top five. He's barely top 10. Here are nine who nobody is trading to Washington for Jaden Daniels. Jackson, Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Stafford, Herbert, Hurts, Goff, and Dak. Yeah, okay. Dallas would run to the league office with the trade papers. Washington's agreed. We're trading Dak in a first to Washington for Jaden Daniels. Are you kidding me, Paul? Dak Prescott can't stay upright for a whole season. Come on, man. And Goff, please. Please. Look, I think actually, you know, when you look in the league at starting quarterbacks, if you're just going off of like potential, I would not have Goff or Dak or Hurts on this list. I am, you know, I see what Justin Herbert is capable of. Sure, I get it. And, you know, there would probably be some people who are Chargers fans, if there are any Chargers fans, that might say, yeah, you know, I'm going to stick with this guy. It's still early, and this guy's big, and he's strong. He hasn't done it at all when it's mattered, but I'm going to stick with him because the other guy was great for 1 year, but it was just 1 year. Okay, I guess I could see that. I could even see somebody in Jacksonville saying, you know what, I like our guy. Trevor Lawrence is ridiculously talented. And he's got a shot with the right kind of coaching and the right kind of stuff around him. I cannot personally see it with Dak or Hurts or Goff. Goff is phenomenal at what he does, okay? Which is, if you have the right system and if you put really good players around him, he is going to be successful. You know, there are guys like that in the league we've seen. You know, one of those guys, you know who, Kirk Cousins, and he can be very effective. There's no chance that if you were a Lions fan and you had a chance for Jaden Daniels, you saw it up close and personal in the postseason, what he's capable of doing. Like, you know, there's no way a Tua or who else? A Baker Mayfield.
Jordan
no
Love.
No way those teams. Who?
A Jordan Love.
A Jordan Love. I mean, I'm a big Jordan Love fan. I think there's like a big Jordan Love run coming at some point. Although the team around him is not, they're not doing a great job.
Yeah.
But I know it's early, and I know it's crazy to talk this way. I've said this multiple times as we were going through the season, because I think, you know, at 7-2, I was like, you guys, we know. It's over. Like, the decision is in. The ballots have been counted. He's elite. It didn't take long. You know, it was like, what game did they get to 7-2? Because then they lost the next three games after that. The Giants on the road. You know, he was incredible. He had some incredible throws in that game, if you recall. And they won that game to get to 7-2, and that was a week after the Hail Mary. And then, you know, they lost to Pittsburgh, Philly, and Dallas. And the Dallas game in particular was not, you know, a super impressive performance until the end. But I remember at 7-2 going, they got it. They got it right. It's over. This guy right now is playing at an elite level. If you didn't know that he was a rookie, you would say he's the best or one of the three, four, or five best quarterbacks in the NFL. And then, you know, they lost the three games and then obviously got it rolling again down the stretch. I mean, the game against Philly and Atlanta, the Atlanta overtime drive is epic. And then what he did in the postseason. I know it's only 1 year. I know. I get it, you know. But this idea that, like, the league's going to figure him out, figure what out? What did he do that was like a major flaw? Nothing is the answer. And he has so many tricks in that bag. I can't wait to see year two. You know, I think the only thing, knock on wood for the, you know, 1,000th time since they drafted him, he just has to stay healthy. And, you know, he got banged up last year, missed most of that Carolina game, came back, you know, and that's the key. If this guy stays upright and plays 17 games, you know, for the next 5-6 years, he's going to be at the very top. I believe that. I got this yesterday from Carter C. Carter C wrote the following to me, and it was interesting because I actually think it's something worth at least chatting about. Carter C wrote, Kevin, any chance the team can't afford to sign Terry McLaurin? And then he added two winking emojis after that. So I actually thought that that was an interesting take. And Carter C., I don't know if you are an in-the-know person, and that's why you were giving me the winking emojis or not, because I don't know who you are, and I don't know if you actually know something or not. But whether you do or don't, it's actually an interesting thing to consider, because we know what they had to do to buy this team. And by the way, that's not even 2 years ago at this point. You know, it was end of July 2023. So we're not even 2 years since a $6 billion purchase of this football team, where Josh Harris and company needed 20 plus limited partners to push it over the finish line. And forever we'll be, you know, grateful to what he did and the group that came together to buy the team from the guy that had held it hostage for 24 years. But think about the massive expenditures since they took the team over. And all of them, much appreciated, because that stadium was falling apart, the existing stadium. You know, they've spent, what, $75 million plus, maybe up to $100 million at this point, just to make that stadium out in Landover, first of all, safe, because it wasn't safe. You know, railings were falling on players, pipes were bursting, you know, sewage was, you know, seeping through seats and sections of the stadium. The thing was a disaster. And they had to spend, you know, millions just to get the thing back up to code. And they went beyond that to make it a pleasant experience, or as pleasant as you can make that experience. You know, there is the coming expenditures, big expenditures, RFK, new stadium, right? And then if you look ahead just to 2027, you've got a Jaden Daniels contract. This time next year, we will have been talking about an extension more likely than not for Laremy Tunsil, who will only have 1 year left on his deal a year from now. The only, keep in mind, they have not signed player-wise. They have not had an output in terms of investment into a player like they will have into Terry when this deal gets done, and I do believe it'll get done. This will be the biggest football team investment they've made since purchasing the team. They signed Sam Cosmi to a contract last year. It was 4 years, $74 million, $42 million guaranteed, $20 million at signing. Kinlaw was $30 million guaranteed when they signed him in this offseason. That was the biggest expenditure they made in the offseason. Last year, remember, it was a bunch of one-year deals, a couple of multi-year deals. You know, also looking forward, I there are other players like Frankie Louvu. You're probably going to want to sign him, and he's probably going to be able to command a pretty sizable deal. You know, there's the possibility of a Debo lighting it up this year and trying to compete with other teams for him. I don't believe that they can't afford it. But keep in mind, to sign Terry, this is the biggest single player investment. It's a deal that will be somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 million plus in aggregate, probably close to $120 million in aggregate, with, you know, roughly $70 million guaranteed. You know, maybe 40 to 50 at signing. Maybe, you know, another 20 to 30 that needs to go into escrow. You know, I mean, you've got to account for that, even though a lot of teams don't actually do that. This will be the biggest commitment to a player that they have made since buying the team. And in the back of their minds, as they are planning, they understand that 2 years from now, and it will have already gotten done, I would assume, when they first can extend Jaden Daniels in the, you know, in once the season ends in 2026 and we get into the offseason of 2027, it's going to be the biggest contract ever given to any player in the history of the franchise. And, you know, that's going to come a year after they're probably going to have to extend Tunsil with a big deal, you know, this time next year. And who knows what else is coming down the line. And then, you know, RFK, and I know there are funding mechanisms for that stadium, and it's not going to require billions of dollars right now. Understood. It's just, I don't think they'd have a difficult time. I think the issue, I think it's interesting just to consider what the financial, you know, situation is. And anybody would understand. Remember, they didn't get that deal done in Philadelphia for the 76ers. It was going to require too much, you know, out of pocket, not enough in taxpayer funding. So they bailed on that. I don't know anything, okay? But I thought it was interesting. It was an interesting email to read from somebody because I hadn't given that thought, but give it some thought because it is going to be the biggest player investment they've made since they took over the team. And let's face it, and all, you know, thanks to Josh Harris and Mitch Rails and Magic Johnson and Mark Ein and all of the limited partners, the investments they have made since the big one, $6 billion, taking our nightmare and sending it to the UK. Because that, you know, we'll never be able to pay back in gratitude. That was not an easy purchase. That was a big, big number. That was a number that was daunting for this group. Personally, I think the Terry situation is, it's a combination of what we first talked about last week when the report came out about the frustration on his end. It is that he is entering a season in which he will turn 30 years old very early in the season. I think it's September 15th. It's you're not paying anybody in life, really, for what they've done. You're paying them, you're compensating them for what they will provide and what they will produce moving forward. So he's going to play the all of these, you know, years on his new deal in his 30s, his early 30s, but his 30s. And then you go to the conversation, and I know for some reason some of you really are uncomfortable with this conversation, but you need to get over it. He's not elite. He's great. He is certainly in that, I would say, that second tier after Jefferson and Chase. If you want to throw A.J. Brown and his dominance at times into that group, I mean, that's what PFF did. But there's, you know, there's 8, 9, 10 guys. If you threw them into a hat and you picked out any of those names, you'd be thrilled with any of those guys after a Chase and a Jefferson, you know, and maybe an A.J. Brown. You know, and he's in that group, but he's not an elite, take the game over kind of guy. He's not a $35 million to $40 million guy. He's not. He is probably around $30 million. And if he wants a couple million more to push him into the top three or the top four, the top five, you know, with the combination of age, et cetera, you know, that may be where the rub is. I still think, as we sit here on the first day of mandatory minicamp, and we'll start getting reports coming in from the people that are out there about who's there. We know Tunsil arrived, and Max will be keeping an eye on you know, who's there and who isn't, as I will. You know, the Lattimore and Terry, you know, are the two. We know that Tunsil's in town. Do we know anything else?
Lattimore is in town, and Terry is will not be participating in minicamp.
But is he going to be there?
I don't know. I'm going to need to do.
He shouldn't participate in minicamp.
Yeah, especially
if you're
holding
until this deal's done.
Yeah,
T.J. Watt's not participating in Pittsburgh's minicamp. I heard this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he shouldn't, and he didn't 3 years ago, because he was in the midst of a contract negotiation. So he did not participate in mandatory minicamp and got fined. He'll get fined again for this because he is under contract. That's what. Like, you know, I remember reading at the end of last week, people, you know, saying, you can't let Terry leave. There's no leaving, okay? He's under contract for 2025. It's just that he's got 1 year left on that contract. And if you want Terry McLaurin beyond 2025, which I think this organization should want Terry McLaurin beyond 2025, now is the time to extend him. You don't let him get into a season in which he is then sniffing the beginning of an opportunity to hit the open market. Of course, Washington could always use the franchise tag. Terry's underpaid right now. There's no doubt. But he did his deal 3 years ago. And you know what? When this deal gets done, there will be people that will say he's overpaid. But that won't last long. That'll last a full year. And then there will be three new guys that pass him. Because that's the way it works in the NFL. Today's overpayment is tomorrow's bargain. I think they'll get it done. I think they'll get it done before training camp. But I do kind of feel for the delicate part of this from the team standpoint. You know, they just can't set precedence of, well, he's not only a really good player, he's a great guy. He's perfect for the culture. But he's going to be 30, and we're going to be paying him for his early 30s. And, yeah, all due respect, because he's a really good receiver and he's super important for us. He's not Justin Jefferson. He's not Ja'Marr Chase. He just isn't. But he's really good, you know? So it'll get done. I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if Terry McLaurin is playing against the Giants on opening day at Northwest Field with just 1 year left on his contract. Because that is the worst case. Understand that is the worst case. There's no holding out. You know, Terry wouldn't have the, you know, the accrual of another season to get closer to free agency. It would all get, you know, halted, you know, and he wouldn't get paid, you know, and he'd be getting fined. He's going to play for this team in 2025. They're not trading him. No chance. What do they have? They don't have anything without him. He's the second most important player on offense. Certainly no worse than the third if Tunsil's all of a sudden become the second most important player on offense. He's a top five player on the team. They're trying to win the Super Bowl right now. They're not trying to get to the playoffs as a wild card team finishing 9-8 or 10-7, which you'd need him to do that as well. You got a chance to compete deep into the postseason for a second straight year and potentially go win a Super Bowl in 2025. You're not doing that without your best receiver and one of the top 10 receivers in the league. All right. We got a lot to get to on the show today, including, as I mentioned, David Aldridge, J.I. Halsell will join us. J.I.'s great on salary cap stuff, contract stuff. So we'll get to all of that and more when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And sorry if I'm jumping the gun here a bit, but there's a report that you're looking into a contract extension with Maryland.
What I can tell you is Damon Evans and I, he hired me. We're on the same page of what we want to do for this program, what we want to do for this university. His focus and my focus are exactly the same. So our focus right now is strictly the NCAA tournament and this team. But all I can say to that is that me and Damon are on the same page, and we always have been.
That was Kevin Willard before before Maryland's first tournament game against Grand Canyon back in March of NCAA tournament time. Why am I playing that? Because there was a story yesterday in the Baltimore Sun written by Taylor Lyons. It was an in-depth, titled Inside Kevin Willard and Damon Evans, The Chaotic Exits. With a headline, Maryland Got Screwed, a subheading, There Was Always a Rift Between the Former Men's Basketball Coach and Athletic Director, a Close Partner of Willard Says. So there you go. I didn't talk about this yesterday because I didn't have a chance to read it. It came out during the show, read it afterwards. So I want to weigh in on this story. First of all, let me just say this. For those of us that, and there are many of us, that we're familiar with the Maryland situation and the Maryland athletic department situation over the last many years. None of this came as like shockers, you know, at any point, whether it was Kevin Willard, you know, announcing on behalf of Damon Evans that he was leaving in that lengthy press conference before the NCAA tournament started. And that, you know, that there were problems between the athletic director and the athletic director's, associates and the basketball program. It was two coaches. You know, at the time I said, look, we've now had two pretty damn good basketball coaches. I know many of you disagree with me, but it's my opinion. In Mark Turgeon and Kevin Willard, both decide that this wasn't where they wanted to be. So, you know, it was a look in the mirror moment, and we talked a lot about that. And in reading this story, there is a lot here that's very familiar to many of us, and there are a couple of things in the story that are very interesting. Let me just say this, big picture. Anybody that goes all in on one side or the other doesn't really know much about this situation. This is the typical, you know, his side, her side, the truth lies somewhere in between. Whenever you get a breakup, you know, and you hear his side and you hear her side and they're the opposites. And then you're just like, you know what? Experience tells me that the truth lies somewhere in between. And I think that's what this situation is. Although there was a couple of, I think, you know, a few reveals in this story. This is something that I don't think everybody knew, but there was certainly an understanding that there was some early frustration. But at the very beginning of the story, Taylor Lyons writes, Kevin Willard's frustrations with Maryland dated to his first week on the job in 2022. Quote, this from Harry Geller, who worked closely with Willard and founded two name, image, and likeness collectives that funded Maryland men's basketball. He wrote, he said for this story, quote, you can quote me directly on this. This is what he always said to me. One of his quotes was, I've never seen a place that cares less about winning in basketball than this. From the first week I met him, he was unhappy. Closed quote. I knew that Mark was very unhappy with Damon Evans for the last several years of his tenure. I know that Kevin wasn't thrilled with Damon Evans or the athletic department, and I don't think he was the only one. But I didn't realize that essentially the first week on the job, he's like, what did I do? You know, the story continues. Willard's instantly fractured relationship with his own athletic department splintered from there over the next 3 years, developing into a cold resentment for former athletic director Damon Evans that led to a messy breakup and a dark cloud that hovered over the men's basketball team's drama-filled run to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. The Baltimore Sun contacted more than a dozen key decision makers in and around Maryland athletics. Those who granted interviews with the Sun described a men's basketball coach and an athletic director tandem that never coalesced. Willard, always asking for more, loathed Evans over a belief that he could have done more to make his program competitive, despite being given almost everything he requested. Evans, who rarely said no, thought Willard's complaints were unfair. And the story continues. So that's one, is that from week one, at least according to Harry Geller, Kevin was unhappy. Kevin Willard was unhappy. Number two, in terms of a reveal, is this. Because this is, you know, this falls under the his side, her side, the truth lies somewhere in between. Kevin has been absolutely vilified for the way he exited the job. And I said during that time, and I will continue to say today, yeah, there are two sides to this story. And yes, it could have been handled better. I don't think he should have said what he said in those press conferences. I don't think he should have said what he said to me when I had him on after, you know, that first round where they, you know, had the big second round win on the Derrick Queen buzzer beater. When he said, if I get everything I want, I'm staying. Because from my sources at the time, they ultimately did give him almost everything he wanted. But there was one thing that he could not be sure of. But there's a part of this story that I think is very important for Maryland basketball fans to understand. Because this is the part where everybody that believes he was always gone, I think, are wrong. So, what's Jack Litch's first name? He's a real estate agent, big Maryland guy. Got him blanking. I'm so sorry about that. Rick, right? Rick Jack Litch, who's part of the collective with Harry Geller and others. He was quoted as saying the following in this story. I wouldn't be surprised if Willard had a handshake deal with Villanova in February, said Jack Litch, the former president of the Terrapin Club. But then he says this. Now, I think if Damon had been there, then Kevin would have gotten his contract finished and he'd still be at Maryland. He told me then he was hoping to have it done in the next couple of days. A week later, the rumors started coming out about Damon leaving, and then Kevin had no one to negotiate with. There wasn't a commitment he thought he could count on. Again, two sides to every story, and even this, who knows how truthful it is, how exaggerated it is, how spot on it is. But I thought and said at the time, while he didn't handle it well, it was a look in the mirror moment for the university. And oh, by the way, yes, there are a lot of people working to make Kevin comfortable with the offer for a contract extension and some of the commitments that they are making. But there's no athletic director, no matter how much he loathed Damon Evans, the devil he knew in the moment was better than the one that he did not know. So in Jack Litch's comment, now, I think if Damon had been there, then Kevin would have gotten his contract finished and he'd still be at Maryland, is what I believe to be true. That if Damon Evans didn't leave, they would have gotten a contract extension done and Kevin would have still been the head coach at Maryland. And that sort of bucks up against two things. One, he loathed Damon, but again, the devil you know. And two, when Jack Litch says, well, I wouldn't be surprised if he had a handshake deal with Villanova in February. Well, both things can't be true. You know, he can't have a handshake deal with February with Villanova, and then you think he would have stayed had Damon Evans remained the athletic director, because they were close to getting a contract extension done. So they were close to getting a contract extension done to lock him in to stay. He was planning on signing that had the athletic director turmoil not taken place. I believe that to be true. Again, do I think he handled it well in the moment? Do I think he could have handled it better? I do. And I'll never come off that. I don't think that, you know, throwing Damon under the bus before that first game against Grand Canyon made a lot of sense. It brought a lot of attention to what a lot of people knew, which was the, you know, the overall dysfunction of Maryland's athletic department. But at the same time, they were working on a contract extension, and then the athletic director up and left. And he did not have an AD. So one thing they couldn't promise him as they all got together and came to him to give him what he wanted to hopefully stay, they couldn't tell him who he'd be working for. I think there's a lot more to this story. Again, probably didn't handle it well. Probably should have just said not answering any questions about anything other than Grand Canyon, other than Florida, their opponents through the tournament. That's all I'm talking about. And by the way, that wouldn't have been received well either. There's no way you can leave in most instances and have people supportive of you. But what he did was, you know, went a bit rogue, went way too public in some of the things he said, and he would have been better off staying silent, at least among, you know, the people in the business that know. I'm not talking about the fan base. But I thought that that was a very interesting reveal and really sort of syncs up with some of the things that I've heard in the moment and have heard since, that they were close to getting a deal done, which really is in conflict with he knew all along he was going to Villanova. Maybe that was always the fallback. Maybe there was a, hey, I'm there if I don't get a deal worked out in terms of an extension. But I think to say that he was never willing to sign an extension to stay at Maryland, I think that's inaccurate. Lastly, I thought it was interesting. And by the way, overall, and this was something we talked about in the moment, overall, what happened ultimately, I hope and I believe, has made Maryland a better job than it was before all of this happened. And I think Buzz Williams could be a significant beneficiary of all of this. But lastly, I thought there was an interesting reveal about Jacoby Gillespie. Jacoby Gillespie, according to this story, has not been paid the full amount of the NIL contract he signed before last season with one of Maryland's collective partners. His father, Byron, told the Baltimore Sun that he hadn't been paid and added that Jacoby was promised he'd still receive his monthly checks regardless of whether he transferred. The collective now says it will not pay out the remainder of the agreement after he transferred to Tennessee in April. And Gillespie said, quote, "When Willard left, they pretty much quit paying all the players. We're fighting that right now." Harry Geller told Jacoby's mom that he would get the money. Then all of a sudden he's gone. And this Simon guy, that's G. Roy Simon, who played wide receiver at Maryland, and G. Roy now is a big part. He's kind of the GM. And that's another thing that was made clear in this story, is that Maryland was one of the few major D1 schools that had not hired a GM to sort of manage all of this. But Jacoby's mom told Geller told Jacoby's mom that he would get the money, then all of a sudden he's gone. And this Simon guy, G. Roy Simon, since he took over, we've been into it with him. There were players that did get their money and players that didn't and are still fighting for it. It kind of makes it look like Willard was right. Maybe they don't have the money, closed quote. So, again, I know that this is not for everybody. This is very much a Maryland, you know, sports, Maryland basketball kind of a thing. But it was a chaotic, you know, couple of weeks. That is for sure. And it's a chaotic couple of weeks that, you know, will be remembered. And there's a lot that wasn't really known, certainly by the fan base and many people in the media as well, that maybe they got a little bit more clarification on. I think and thought at the time, and still to this day, that two things are true simultaneously. Kevin could have handled it better, and yet the situation was one in which it was a look in the mirror moment for Maryland. And what we have found out through this story, which, you know, I have learned, you know, since all of this went down, is that they were very close to signing Kevin to a contract extension, and he was very close to signing it. And if the athletic director that he loathed, even though he was the devil he knew, had stayed, he'd probably still be the basketball coach if he had stayed at least through the contract extension signing. But he didn't. All right, news on Terry McLaurin when we come back.
All right, minicamps are underway across the NFL. Some notable minicamp absences include Washington's Terry McLaurin and Pittsburgh's T.J. Watt. Both are attempting to secure extensions. Laremy Tunsil and Marshawn Lattimore are both present in Ashburn for Commanders minicamp. And the Florida Panthers last night boat raced the Edmonton Oilers in a physical and chippy game that ended by a score of 6-1. Murray State, they beat Duke in the Durham Super Regional to advance to their first Men's College World Series. And tonight, the Nats will take on the Mets at 7:10. Mackenzie Gore expected to take the bump. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:40. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Me and Terry got a good relationship outside of football, so, you know, obviously he got to handle what he has to handle, and, you know, but that doesn't change anything. The fact that, you know, he's a part of our brotherhood, you know, we know Terry's working and everything, so we got to get better, and he knows he got to get better each and every day.
Jaden Daniels last week talking about Terry McLaurin, who is a holdout from the team's mandatory minicamp today. John Keim writes, he's seeking a contract extension. He did not report to the team's mandatory minicamp. By the way, he's the only one. Lattimore and Tunsil are both there. He skipped the voluntary OTA practices as well. So this could be, if he misses all 3 days, a fine worth up to $104,000+. He can be fined, John writes in his story on ESPN.com, $17,462 for missing day one, $34,925 for the second missed day, and $52,381 for the third day. There you go. And I think, I believe that, you know, the last time the CBA was put together, that it's harder and harder now for players to be essentially refunded or have the slate wiped clean on fines. I think somebody else probably has exactly what that got updated to in the last CBA. Let's hit a real quick, what do you got? So if you guys haven't seen this, one of the greatest catches in a Major League Baseball game last night in Anaheim, A's and Angels, center fielder Denzel Clark for the Oakland A's takes a deep shot from Schonell, I think his name is, for the Angels. And this thing is headed over the center field wall, and he gets a running start into it. He leaps up onto the wall. His left hand with his glove on it, he's a right-hander, reaches over the wall and then down, like it's almost falling to the ground on the other side of the wall, but he's able to haul it in, and then in one motion springs off the wall back into the field of play with the ball in hand. It is truly one of the great catches you will ever see by an outfielder on a ball that was certainly gone. It was home run robbery, Denzel Clark for the Oakland Athletics. All right, when we come back, David Aldridge, I was wrong. He's joining us at noon. That was my fault. Up next, our guy J.I. Halsell was on with me yesterday in my podcast. And J.I. is an NFL agent. He is a salary cap expert. And he weighed in on the Terry McLaurin situation and a lot of other situations, including Trey Hendrickson and others around the league. You'll hear that next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.